Again, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 just for a moment. I was asked to share a little bit of some of the things we've gone through over this last year. It's been a privilege to be able to be on the road. We have been on the road literally for 1 year. Literally today, I was looking at the date, and it was this time literally last year in this missions car in this national conference where we began our deputation trail. First time I've ever been really traveling on deputation and really worked with a missionary all my life, worked with Pastor John Cook, who's been on furlough many times, and had an understanding of what it meant to get behind a missionary and to help him through the deputation process, helped him with a lot of the meetings that he would go to and be a part of it, and be there to pray for him and handle some of the challenges that he faced on the road. And you know, when you're on the other side of the coin, as I've pastored now in Canada for I've been involved in church planting since 1979 and pastored probably 23 years now in pastoral experience. But this last year has been an eye-opener. I've learned a lot of different things that, frankly, I didn't know even existed when it came to deputation. He asked me to speak this morning just for a few minutes on this idea of the do's and don'ts of how do you treat a missionary from a missionary standpoint. And as I've been praying about that, and even as I've traveled over this last year, part of my vision or my plan as I've been on the road was to, get a vision of where the churches are in Canada. I mean, I've been involved in church planting in Western Canada, in BC and Alberta, and have had the privilege to meet a lot of the preachers in Alberta and in British Columbia, and have got to build a relationship with most of them. And but when it comes to this idea of being on the road and traveling and booking meetings and being in a different church every Sunday morning, being in a different church every Sunday night, it's a whole different world out there. You begin to realize, what churches are going through. You know, I knew a lot of the churches in Canada were small, and I knew a lot of them were struggling, and many of us are bivocational, and I've been bivocational most of my ministry, and I know what it is to work a job, and I know what it is to try to get a church off the ground, and I know what it is to work night and day, if you will, to try to get the work going. But and I'll be honest with you, deputation was certainly not something I raised my hand up and said, yeah, I really, 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 really want to do this. I did everything in my power to say, God, please, whatever you do, don't ever put me on the road. Because I watched what Pastor Cook went through. And probably, if there's one area, and I'll focus on this primarily this morning, when it comes to the relationship between a pastor and a missionary, the area of weakness that I've seen while on the road, and I've talked to many missionaries while I've traveled and had the privilege to be in a number of different conferences across Canada, different missions conferences, and I've asked the question of every missionary I've had the privilege to talk to. I said, if there is one area in deputation that has been your greatest struggle, what has it been? And it's been the area of communication. Being able to talk to preachers has been a struggle, struggle, struggle. If there's been an area of difficulty, of discouragement that I've talked to different missionaries about, it's this whole process of booking meetings. It is a difficult, difficult thing because much of our time on the road is spent on the telephone. Much of our time is spent producing emails or producing letters, producing materials to get them into the hand of preachers to be able to have a reason to call them. And I tried several different things when I was on the road trying to book meetings. We're coming to the end of a year of deputation, and that's what God challenged me to spend on the road. And I'm not afraid to work a job, and I'm certainly willing to do that if that's how God has led. We've had the privilege to raise nearly 70% of our support already in this first year, and I thank the Lord for that. We started out with $200 a month, and God has just saw fit to allow us to raise that up to 70%. Now, and by the grace of God, we'll be at 80-85% before this year is over, and we thank the Lord for that. But the biggest challenge, the biggest thing probably that caused discouragement for me as a preacher was this idea that I could not communicate with the pastors where I wanted to book meetings. You go into, and I'll just share with you plainly, let me just share with you my heart. When I was on the road, I would try to plan our meetings in a particular province in order to spend a month or 2 months in that province and not have to spend money or gas money driving all over the country trying to book a meeting in British Columbia on one Sunday and in Saskatchewan the next Sunday. And so I was trying to avoid that. And so as I began to plan the process of booking meetings, I would send out an email to a particular province or maybe two provinces, somewhere where I could drive within a 4 to 5 mile radius or 4 to 5 hour radius to book meetings on Sunday. And as I began to send out those emails, the one thing that kind of startled me is I got zero response. And I'm just telling you, fellas, you know what? Communication is everything. I've been in the business world now for 30 years, involved in all kinds of different aspects of business. And I'll tell you something, if a business doesn't communicate, it dies. And folks, if there's a big don't when it comes to missionaries, if we're not communicating with the men that are on the road, they're going to fail. It's a fact of life. I'm just going to tell you that point blank. I'll tell you a reason a lot of missionaries do not make it off deputation, make it through deputation, is they get sick and they get tired of spending. I spent one day, and I tracked it for one solid week. I was booking meetings. I made 200 phone calls a day for six straight days, talked to four preachers. You do the math. You know what? Time is of essence. The Bible says we're redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And when we have to invest that sort of time, and we leave messages, and we send emails, and there's absolutely zero acknowledgement of those emails, zero acknowledgement of those phone calls. And I kind of made, after a while, I realized, you know what, I'm not going to continue to keep bothering preachers. I had one missionary, a young missionary, that said he was going to China and raise his support or not go at all. He would phone until the preacher just finally got fed up with hearing from him, and he'd pick up the phone. He said, "You are the most persistent guy in the world." He called one preacher 39 times before he finally picked up his telephone. I mean, he finally picked it up out of self-defense. But he finally got a hold of him. He is supporting that young man today. I God bless him for his persistence. I finally made the decision after four phone calls, two emails, leaving four different messages, that I just assumed you weren't interested. And that's just what I thought. And I just took that, made that assumption. But fellas, we shouldn't have to make the assumption. I'm just going to tell you that point blank. I'm at the end of my deputation trail. Maybe you don't like what you're hearing, but fellas, if we're going to see our missionaries remain faithful on the road, we need to learn how to communicate with them. We need to learn how to pick up a phone and return a phone call. You know, one thing I learned in sales is that if I didn't return the call within 2 hours, I was going to lose the sale. I mean, that was a 2 hour turnaround that became a heresy if I didn't do it. I could lose my job over it. Now, I'm not saying that we need to return a phone call to a missionary in 2 hours, but I'll tell you something. Those of you who did, man, you were just nothing but a blessing to my heart. Because I thought to myself, wow, a preacher that knows how to answer his telephone. What a concept. A preacher that knows how to use a computer and send back an email. Wow, what a privilege. And I mean, I'm just trying to be honest here. If there is an area of discouragement, an area of difficulty, and those of you who have been on the road, and many of you have been on the road, and many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that it's a challenge. And the Bible says that God is not unrighteous in Hebrews 6:10 to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You see, part of the missionary's job when he's on the road is to minister to the churches. You know, I think if there's a misgiving toward missionaries that's on the road, and I say this from being on both sides of the fence now, and I've helped support hundreds of missionaries over the years in all of the churches that we've planted. We've started a Faith Promise Missions program, so I know what it is to have missionaries in and welcome them in, and I know how to treat them when they do come. But one of the greatest challenges we have when we bring a missionary in, we think it's just about the money. You know what? It's not just about the money. Every service I go to with the heart's vision to say, Lord, let me minister to these folks. God, somehow, Lord, maybe there's a lost one in that service that needs to hear the gospel presentation in the way, God, that you've impressed upon my heart to present it. And Lord, maybe that individual who has sat underneath that preaching of that pastor and that pastor has poured his heart out to that individual and has prayed for their salvation, God brings in that missionary and God allows that missionary to speak. And that individual comes to a saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the way maybe the message was being presented, the way the heart is being presented. That the job of a missionary is not just to raise money. He is a minister of the gospel. And he needs to be treated as such. And he needs to be given the privilege to be able to minister to the people. And I don't know about you, but I take it very, very seriously when I stand behind the pulpit, any pulpit across this country, and realize that God has entrusted me with a responsibility to minister to the men and women and the kids and the children. And if we're going to reach Canada for Christ, I've said it everywhere I've gone, we're going to have to get Canadians on board with reaching their country for Christ. And it is my prayer and it is my vision that as I've traveled across this country and have been in a different service nearly three times a week throughout this past 52 weeks, and we'll continue to do so till we're done deputation in just a month. But I believe it's important that we understand that it's a labor of love and that we're ministers of the gospel together. You know, I made a note as I got thinking about the difference between a missionary's life and that of a local pastor. And one of the things that I realized that, you know, as a local pastor, and folks, I'm independent to the core. And I believe in the autonomy of the local New Testament church. But I've realized that as a missionary, as a man on deputation, my life is not autonomous. My life is completely dependent on every one of you. Every meeting I go to, A, with the hopes of being able to minister. And I realize that by faith, as I step into that church and I present my heart and I present the ministry that God has called us to, and as we get ready to start another church, I realize that, you know what, if God doesn't move on the heart, then my provision comes through the local New Testament church. That's how God has chosen to do it. God has chosen to use a local New Testament church to support his own ministry. Churches reproduce churches, right? That's what we keep preaching. That's what we keep hearing. And the only way we're going to see that happen is when we take seriously the job that the missionary is doing. And folks, communication is everything. We communicate the gospel. And as we're dealing with missionaries, returning a phone call is a part of it. You realize I got thinking about it. You know, I thought if I had to make one phone call to every pastor in this country, I could have made 300 phone calls and contacted every independent Baptist preacher in Canada. And I made 200 phone calls a day for 6 days. You figure it out. And there's 300 churches in Canada. And I was calling Canadian churches. Why should we have to do that? I mean, it's just a math game here. We shouldn't have to do that. But we do. And I'll guarantee you talk to any missionary in this room, if you're not on the phone making phone calls every day, you're not going to book meetings. You're not going to book meetings. It's just a reality of life. And a missionary's life starts with the phone call. It starts months before he gets to his first meeting, and it continues on after he gets done his last meeting. Why? Because communication is everything. You know, after the missionary's been there, I wonder if it would be good for us to follow up. How you doing? Wouldn't that be a good, I mean, for me, I can tell you this already. There's been several of you who have simply just picked up the phone or have sent me a kind email and said, listen, brother, appreciated having you. And we're praying for you. And if there's anything we can do to help, just let us know. I mean, it took 30 seconds to send the email. I'll tell you something, that I received some of those emails in times when I went, Lord, what am I doing this for? God, why am I on the road? I remember I was changing the tire on my way to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, on a trailer. I blew the tire on my trailer, and I was out there changing the tire real quick, and as I was changing the tire, a text message came through from a preacher that I had just previously been with. He said, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. He says, you're probably in the thick of a trial. He said, I just want to let you know God's with you. And I thought, what a timely thing. Why isn't he here changing this tire for me? I mean, I'll just be real honest with you. But talk about timely. And I thought to myself, well, thank you, Lord. At least I know I'm doing what you want. Sometimes that whole idea of communication, that labor of love, and I realized that we're busy. I had one preacher. I went to a missionary training school, and one of the preachers that was there, he said to me, "Well," he says, "you guys just got to understand." And he was being kind of defensive, and that was okay. And I kind of, you know, my German blood kind of got boiling a little bit, and he was trying to justify why preachers don't have to return phone calls. And he was justifying this idea. Listen, you phone him 6 times. If a preacher doesn't return your call, it's because he's not interested. And there was just something inside of me that just, I thought, that's all wrong. It's just wrong. Is that how you treat your church member? I hope not. Because if that's how we're pastoring, no wonder our churches are a mess. No wonder our churches stay small. We got to communicate. Communicate is our job. That's what God's called us to do, right? Communicate the message of the gospel. And I don't know of any greater way to keep our country strong and keep our churches strong, but when preachers learn how to communicate with each other. I tell you what, there's just something about that. Something about picking up a phone. I was just with a young missionary, church planter, here in Ontario, and spent 4 days with him and preached his missions conference. And I asked him, I said, "So when's the last time you heard from a preacher?" He said, "Well, it's been months." And he was discouraged, and I could tell he was discouraged. And I took him out to lunch, and we just tried to be an encouragement and a blessing to him. And I said, "So when's the last time you heard from your pastor, his home church?" And he said, "I haven't heard from my home church since I left and been on the field." And he was on the field for 3 years. Let me say, pastors, communicate with the men that are in your church. Communicate with these missionaries when they're on the field. Say, "Well, it's his job to communicate with me." No, it's your job as the shepherd to communicate with the sheep. If we're going to send men out, we need to communicate with them. I believe it's just so important that we take the time. Let them know we're praying for them. I thought to myself, here's a young missionary that hasn't heard from his home-sending church in 3 years. Doesn't even get an acknowledgement back that they're getting his letters. And I mean, he's tried to call his pastor, and again, he faced the same situation where he wasn't getting a return phone call. And, you know, as a pastor, my heart aches when I hear about that. It concerns me. And I think to myself, you know, we've got to learn how to communicate. It is, for me, it was certainly, it has been, the greatest source of discouragement that Satan has used, is this avenue of communication. Communication has been the tool, if you will, that Satan's had at his disposal to use against me. And I'll be honest with you, when you're not being you know, it's hard to have a one-way conversation. It's hard to read a mind. I remember sending out an email, and folks, let me say this, you know, if you're going to communicate, do it with grace. You know, I don't mind being told no. That's not an issue with me. I get told, you know, I've been in the sales industry for 30 years. I get told no a lot. And I don't mind being told no from a pastor. I honestly don't. It's no issue to me for a pastor to say to me, "We can't have you." But it's when I don't know. That's when I begin to wonder. I sent an email out to a whole province, 45 churches, and I got 3 emails back. And all 3 of them were negative. "We don't want you here. You don't need to come here. We don't want you around here." I went, wow. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I was careful who I sent my emails to. I sent it to churches I thought of like faith and practice. I wasn't sending it to the local Presbyterian church. I was sending it to independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, quote-unquote, Baptist churches. And I thought to myself, wow, seasoned with grace. And I thought to myself, wow, we don't want to see churches started. We don't want to see other churches being planted. Now again, I felt like that was the, you know, exception to the rule. And certainly if we're going to communicate, there's nothing wrong with saying, brother, it's just not going to work for us to have you. I have absolutely zero issue with that. And you know what? If I'm planning my schedule, if I've got 45 churches to book and I'm going to be there in the month of June, and 30 of them write me and say, listen, brother, we've had an inundation, and I had some pastor do this for me in British Columbia and thank the Lord for him. He picked up the phone and he called me and said, brother, we'd love to have you, but he said, July, August, and September are out. He said, we have just been inundated with missionaries. He says, I've had 13 missionaries call me in the last week and a half. You know what I thought to myself? July, August, and September are out for British Columbia. I'm just not even going to try because it's not fair to the churches. So you know what I did? I changed my schedule. But you know how I did it? When one preacher picked up the phone, phoned me and said, brother, I just want to know, I'll let you know what you're up against. And I went, thank you. I changed my plan. I began to call another province in Canada and immediately began booking meetings. Filled all 3 months. Non-issue. But if I would have continued, and thank the Lord, it happened really early on. But you know why? Communication. That's how we can help a missionary. Because oftentimes, I don't know about them, but for me, booking in a certain area and saying, I'm gonna focus on a province, or I'm gonna focus on an area, whether that's a province in a state, whatever the case may be, and I'm getting the feedback from churches and feedback from preachers that it's not gonna work, that it's just the wrong time. Thank the Lord. That doesn't discourage me. That's just God's way of saying, no, you're headed in the wrong direction. And then I get to move forward. But that's how we can work together. I wonder, are we willing to work together? Because that's what it is. It's all about communication. Let's communicate. I know it certainly helped. It's been an eye-opener for me. We start the work in Charlottetown. I know this. I've got a much greater appreciation when I get a phone call from a missionary. It isn't going to take very long for me to call them back and say, brother, it's either going to work or it's not going to work. And it has nothing to do with his doctrinal position. I realize that, you know what, we don't all dot our I's and cross our T's the same. And some of you won't have me because you don't agree with me. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But just say so. And you'll see God do some great things. I think you'll see some missionaries. I believe personally that we would raise our support faster. And we would shorten the deputation time significantly if communication got picked up. I believe that with all my heart. Thank you, Pastor.
This morning, I'll just add something very quickly. One of my pet peeves while traveling is if your answering machine says, I will call you back, and you have no intention to do so, that's a lie, and you lack integrity. I'll just tell you that. So now go home and change your answer machines is what you'll do. But be careful of that, because I'm telling you, I sat and waited for preachers. Oh, they'll call me back. No, they won't. No, they won't. Well, it's time for lunch. And I'm going to tell you this. My mother is the head of the kitchen around here. And you can see she does a good job. Amen. But she told me we are serving a hot lunch at noon. If they're going to sit around and talk, they're going to get a cold lunch. So that's just the orders I have to pass on to you. All right, so Lord, we have a word of prayer. We're going to head over to the gymnasium for lunch just across the parking lot. Hot roast beef on a bun. It'll be a nice lunch for you. And then we're going to head back here at 8 o'clock for our afternoon service. Not a lot of time. We got about an hour to fellowship. Let me also say this. Mrs. Wosky is a professional photographer. She has set up shop in our library, which is just off our lobby here. And for the remainder of the afternoon, any break times that we have, she's going to give you free portraits. You go ahead and get in there with your wife or just a headshot for yourself, and then those will be sent to you later on, absolutely free of charge. And that's a nice touch to our conference, I thought, so that's going to be a blessing. So that's this afternoon and into our evening only, so make sure you take advantage of that if you're interested. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our lunch today. Brother Wood, would you stand and lead us in prayer?
Father, we thank you so much for this meeting. We are so thankful for our missionaries travel the land, trying to get their support and lead out there. Father, we thank you for the food we're going to eat. It's lunchtime. We ask your blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. See you in the gym. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, one more thing. Which is the hospitality room.
We have pizza for all the kids. We thought that they might enjoy that a little more than something that Adam